Our annual NBA opening night doubleheader is Wednesday, October 20th. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and the Celtics are at Madison Square Garden to take on Julius Randle and former Celtic Kemba Walker. And the Knicks at 7:30, 4:30 Pacific. Then it's our primetime West Coast game with reigning MVP, the Joker and the Nuggets in Phoenix, squaring off against Devin Booker, Chris Paul, and the Suns. Last season, Western Conference champs. Two great matchups to tip off the NBA season on ESPN and the ESPN app. One app, one tap.
Welcome to Organized Chaos. Along with Rex Ryan, here's Bart Scott.
Welcome to Organized Chaos. I'm Bart Scott. Rex Ryan will be coming and joining us a little bit later. Let's start with the game of the night. The Sunday Night Football and NBC does not disappoint again as the Pittsburgh Steelers beat the Seattle Seahawks in overtime from a costly fumble by Geno Smith. I tell you what, this game really turned on a dime when the team started to run the football. But, you know, in these games, in these types of situations, you need the stars to be stars. It just seems like the Seattle Seahawks don't have it this year. You know, they fall in a division in the NFC West where it's going to be hard to make the playoffs. And the Pittsburgh Steelers needed this game a lot more as they were – well, not a lot more, but they needed this game. Both teams needed this game. And now Pittsburgh is able to be 3-3, still in fourth place within the AFC North, but they still have an opportunity to still fight to live to fight another day. Ben Roethlisberger was decent, nothing spectacular. You know, threw the ball 40 times again, 229 yards, Najee Harris, but it was the costly mistakes. And I thought that Seattle was starting to turn the game around when they start running the football. This Pittsburgh Steelers defense, we're not used to seeing them get pushed around. They got pushed around a little bit, but they made the plays when they needed them most. You know, so that's really it in a nutshell. The Pittsburgh Steelers go on, and the Seattle Seahawks have a lot of questions. But I tell you what, the Jets fans are ecstatic because Jamal Adams and the trade for Jamal Adams is the gift that just keeps on giving. Because the New York Jets own the first-round draft pick this year, the last of a two first-round draft picks for Jamal Adams, Seattle continues to be the Legion with no boom.
Organized Chaos.
Welcome back to Organized Chaos. I'm Bart Scott, joined by Rex Ryan, and let's start with those Ravens. After that Indianapolis game, who saw this one coming as Herbert, your favorite son, comes back to Baltimore or goes to Baltimore? Is this just an example of a West Coast team going to an East Coast stadium and really getting off to a very, very slow start because it's 9 a.m. their body clock time?
No, that's not an example. This is an example of a team getting their ass kicked. That's what this is an example of. This team came in, and the Baltimore Ravens had a phenomenal game plan. And I know that the linebacker coach over there pretty well, and he's like, look, if this clown goes for it on fourth down in his own end, we got a little something for him. And that's exactly what happened. Guy turns the tide, you know, makes two huge, costly errors going for it on fourth down because everybody was raving about him. But the difference is they don't play off coverage and play soft like the rest of the league does and allow that X receiver to catch slants or hitches all day long. They put Marlon Humphrey over there. Well, go ahead and throw it in there. Marlon made some great plays. That was the difference in the game. And the fact that they just pounded him. Who was more physical? The Baltimore Ravens were way more physical in that game. And we can say what we want. The Chargers do have a great, talented football team, but they ran into a team that had a lot of answers for them on defense. You know, in fact, multiple coverages, double coverages on Keenan Allen. They put their best player one-on-one against Mike Williams for the majority of the game. So I think it was a great plan defensively by Baltimore, and then they just pounded the rock. The Chargers all season have struggled stopping a run. So the better team won. I thought Baltimore would win, and they did.
You know, what's unique is crazy, right? When you think about Lamar Jackson and his dominance, as once again, the numbers won't really dictate how the Ravens dominated the game. But, you know, throwing the ball from the pocket, you know, they put up 34 points. I want to say that the Ravens are leading the league in scoring or pretty close up there. But how about Lamar Jackson? I know he had the two interceptions, you know, the one where he didn't see the backside linebacker. But, you know, you just talk about, you know, his progression. It looks like they don't even really attempt to really run the ball. I mean, to throw, run the ball with him as much as like just he's learned out. It seems like he's figured out how to just to stay within the pocket and how to just beat teams with, you know, figuring out what they're trying to do to him. And, you know, his little sidearm, he's been a lot more accurate. And, you know, you look at Rashad Bateman, you know, looks like he can be a true number one once he gets his sea legs underneath him.
Yeah, no, it's true. But Bateman dropped a couple of big balls in that game, too. So you could tell where he hadn't really been in the mix. But I know they're really excited about Bateman in Baltimore. So we'll see how he develops. And let's not forget now, Sammy Watkins, who's played extremely well, was out this week with injuries. Hopefully he can come back. But just great to see. And it just shows, man, like if you have that physical, you know, physical teams still win in this league. And Baltimore was clearly the more physical team in this game.
Is Baltimore separating themselves as you talk about the elite in the AFC? Because you talk about, you know, the game last week against the Colts. They were lethargic. They seemed like they were sleepwalking. And yeah, then all of a sudden, you know, they come dominate a team, you know, like the Los Angeles Chargers. Which team is the real Ravens team? And can this defense be dominant? Because that's been the Achilles heel for this team so far this year.
Yeah, I just think they had a great plan going into this game. But the big question to me is, like, you're right. That we've seen this defense have not been consistent. And if they play consistently like we are accustomed to seeing Baltimore play with the improvement of Lamar Jackson, then hell yeah, they can play with anybody in this league. Obviously, the standings say they're the best in the North. We're going to find out. You know, Cleveland's got a ton of injuries. They're finally hitting the injury bug the way Baltimore has. Look, Baltimore's played without two starting tackles, without three starting running, you know, the down to their third string at running back. So, you know, it's been tough, but Baltimore faced it early, and they're coming through it. Cleveland, on the other hand, is just experiencing those type of injuries. So I think they're playing better than any team in the North. We'll see. To me, I still think Buffalo's the class of the AFC, and we'll find out more about them on Monday.
I tell you what, man, the football equivalent of who's your daddy was taking place, you know, today at Soldier Field. When you talk about what A-Ron did, I still own you. And this was a game for a minute, but eventually the cream rose to the top. But how about A-Ron just kind of rubbing it in by telling them, hey, I still own you. All is fair within a division, right? Because it's, you can be able to have this type of bad blood. But you talk about, you know, Green Bay and, you know, their defense still is a bit shaky, but you look up and they're 5-1. You know, what's this team all about?
Well, this team's about two players. It's about Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams. And here it is. Hey, Packer fans, enjoy it while you can, because those two cats are walking out the door next year, and you're going to end up being where Detroit is right now. So that's the truth. Aaron Rodgers, the man. I love it. Could be his last game, you know, in Soldier Field. So he's like, no, I own you. I still owed you. It was a classic. Apparently, some fan was shooting on the dirt, double birds. But you know what? It's great. I love it out of Aaron Rodgers, man. And he's right. He does own him. And you know, he is spectacular. His play is unbelievable. They had a couple touchdowns called back in this one. But Aaron Rodgers is still the man.
I mean, if Nagy and company can figure out a way to treat every single drive like the first drive, I think they'll win a lot of games in this league. But you look at Justin Fields, and you know I think they're doing what they have to do. 16 for 27 for 174. Is it time for them to say, you know what, we need to start unloading some of these pieces? You know, maybe get rid of a Khalil Mack, see if they can cash in some chips and push the full all in rebuild with this young guy at the helm.
Yeah, I don't think so, Bart. I think they got a chance. You know, Minnesota's not a juggernaut by any stretch. Detroit, we know, is totally in a rebuild mode. And why not? The Bears have made playoffs. At the end of the year, they've made playoffs before. And let's face it, this defense, you can win a lot of games with this defense and run the football the way they've been doing. So, to me, no, this is not a time you sell. And I would say it's almost the exact opposite, because if you're the head coach and GM, you better win now or you might be out the door. So, to me, no, this is not a time you sell.
But you know, it's crazy when I look at it though. When I look at it, I see that you know this is a team that next year is not going to probably be able to re-sign Allen Robinson, as he's been wanting to get out of there, been trying to escape town for a couple of years. And you know, I guess if Aaron Rodgers leaves the division, then you know all bets are off. But I just don't know what this team can be. You know, when you think about, you know, probably four teams or three teams for sure is going to get into playoffs from the NFC West as they just continue to dominate and they go three deep. You know, and it's like it's trying to figure out, are they a wild card? Can they really make any noise in the playoffs? I know you got to pack your run game and your defense, but they don't have the offensive line, I feel like, to have a true dominant offense. So, you know, I guess we'll agree to disagree. I don't know, man. I'm just kind of stuck on this squad because I don't know where they're going. You know what I mean? Speaking of stuck,
to give up on a team that can play that good defensively.
Yeah, man. I talk about giving up. Man, I mean, I just don't know what to say about the New York Giants. I mean, how can you evaluate a team that has everybody hurt? You know, they lose Kadarius Toney early in this game, and you know Saquon's already out. Danny Dimes coming back from a concussion. It's like, man, I don't know how to evaluate these guys and maybe get them and get some pass because this team, you can't evaluate all the weapons that he brought in because nobody's available.
Yeah, and I'm with you on that, but who had the concussion? The head coach, Joe Toughguy, or Daniel Jones? Because on fourth and inches or third and inches or whatever, why in the hell are you running quarterback sneak and getting Daniel Jones hit in the helmet again? He got hit in the head again. And this is a guy coming off the deck in 1 week coming off concussion protocol. So I don't know which was dumber. I mean, that obviously Daniel Jones struggling in that game mightily, turned the ball over four times. It was ugly. But if you're the head coach, you're responsible. I don't care what the offensive coordinator calls. If he's calling quarterback sneak, you say absolutely not no, but hell no. So to me, that was horrible, and nobody's focused on it because how bad the Giants played and how bad Daniel Jones played. But to me, I go right back to that. If I'm ownership, I want to know why the hell my quarterback, you know, potential franchise quarterback, is running quarterback sneak 1 week after being in concussion protocol. That they have to explain to me.
That's crazy, man. But on the other side, you talk about Matthew Stafford after, you know, that offense got off to a slow start. You talk about four touchdowns in the second quarter alone. It was game over. It was game set match after that. You know, Matthew Stafford continues to make a strong case for the MVP. Right now, if you had to make a decision now, who was the MVP? Would it be Matthew Stafford or who else? I mean, he's 5-1, but it seems like the luster kind of fell off of them when they lost in a head-to-head matchup against Kyler Murray.
Yeah, and I'm taking Kyler Murray. He's got his team undefeated, and hell, how good is he? He just tore up Cleveland without a head coach, you know, beside him. So, to me, I would take Kyler Murray. Matthew Stafford has been everything we thought he would be. He has been absolutely terrific. But if you only get the one MVP vote, I would be voting for Kyler Murray.
But will you reserve judgment until the second time they play? Like the winner gets the MVP and gets the Rex Ryan vote?
No, absolutely. Of course, you're gonna do it until the end of the season. But, you know, I'm comfortable with Kyler Murray right now.
Yeah, he has been playing electric, man. I tell you what, this team is playing well. That, you know, even without Chandler Jones, eventually Chandler Jones is going to get healthy. You know, they push the chips all the way to the middle of the table when making an acquisition of Zach Ertz, yeah. You know, after losing Williams. You know, it seems like this is their time. They have just as good a chance as anybody to win a championship. You know, from one MVP candidate to a former MVP, you know, it wasn't pretty, but it was a win. But it still feels like it's something going on with Patrick Mahomes and the turnovers and pressing and Washington. You know, I know it was an emotional day. The Washington defense, you know, played well, knowing that Sean Taylor was having his number retired. But, man, come on. Like, and is it a bigger fraud in this league than the Washington defense?
Yeah, maybe the Kansas City defense. Both of them are frauds, but the Washington one for sure. All that talk about them, man, they're all over the dial about how great they are and all that stuff. Man, this team, 29, they get five straight games, they've given up 29 or more points. How's that for a vaunted Washington defense? Like, to me, that was a disgrace.
What's up with your boy, man? You don't want to call your boy and give him some tips? What's up with Del Rio? This is Del Rio's defense.
Yeah, Del Rio's defense, he's always been about being, you know, he'll play coverage. And then a blitz of Del Rio is a five-man rush. It's like 46 singles. So to me, that ain't – he's never been, you know, we coached together in Baltimore for a little bit, but our schemes are night and day different, as you know.
It's crazy, man, when you think about that, you know, because it's like you watch some of the old school guys. Mike Nolan came back, Del Rio. You look at on the other side, what's his name, Schwartz, right? Some of these old guys in this new type of offense. So it's like offensive has evolved, and it seems like some of these older defensive systems haven't really evolved to the way that the game is going now.
Yeah, well, I mean, I look at it this way. Almost all these defenses these days are so vanilla. And they just try, we're just going to try to prevent the big play. Well, how about being aggressive and trying to make big plays and attacking the attacking your opponent? People don't do that anymore. And, you know, there's some do, but a lot of these guys don't know how. You know, there's some of these guys that just, you know, 2-3 years experience. And then you have some of these older guys that have never been about that. So to me, you know, I haven't been impressed. I'm not impressed with how the league plays defense anymore. You don't have any Buddy Rhines out there. You damn sure don't have a Buddy Rhine, and you damn sure don't have a Rex Ryan out there anymore. The closest thing we have to that is Bill Belichick, his style of play, and I get it. That's he's always been a great one, all right? There's no question about it. But there's very few and far between that are aggressive. I think the guy with the Cardinals has done a good job there.
Van Joseph, yeah.
Done a nice job with that defense, turning that defense around. But, man, some of these, I mean, you know, Todd Bowles at time, he doesn't have a – you know, his problem is they don't have any ballers in the back end. If he did, that would be different. But, you know, it's just – it's hard to watch sometimes if you're a fan of defense.
Yeah, it is, man. The lack of creativity, innovation, it's crazy, man. Just watching dudes get RPO'd and be put on their heels the entire time. But I tell you what, you know, it's been a lot of, you know, respect thrown out there for the Lions and how hard they play and just how scrappy they are. But we really haven't given the respect, I believe, to the Cincinnati Bengals, who last week should have beaten the baddest man in the planet, if you want to talk about Aaron Rodgers. And Joe Burrow, man, I tell you what, man, this Cincinnati team is not going to be denied too much longer. I mean, they can make some more acquisitions in the future. I mean, Cincinnati can be a destination where people will want to go. I mean, you talk about, you know, Josh Allen and how he attracted people to want to come play there. I mean, Joe Burrow has the same type of electric arm and electric personality. You know, I mean, what do you think about these Bengals and, you know, 4-2 and maybe should we take the Steelers out of the potential wild card spot? And is these Bengals, I always want to call them Bungles, are they for real? Could they potentially be a wild card?
I think they absolutely could. And let's face it, we're going to find out a lot about this team next week when they play Baltimore. So that one's going to be a great game. But when I look at the Bengals, man, Joe Burrow, you're right, man. This guy, he's – now, this is a guy that reminds me of a Tom Brady, of a young Tom Brady.
Yeah.
You know, the way he does, conducts himself, got that great height, big arm, all that type of stuff, and a leader. You can see that. I mean, everybody is galvanized to this player. So, yeah, I mean, they're terrific. I've been impressed with their defense. Their defense usually horrendous. But they picked up Trey Hendrickson from New Orleans. He had two more sacks in this game against the Lions. They're a different defense than we remember, like, you know, like recent memory. So that, you know, they're more of a complete team than they've been in the past. You know, so to me, I think absolutely they should be considered a playoff team.
I tell you what, man, you talk about Dan Campbell last week. I love this, my quarterback, to almost saying now he's calling Jared Goff out. So now he's all about, he's done with all the night sky stuff and crying how much he loves his team. I mean, he's calling out Jared Goff, but people in Los Angeles are like, yeah, that's who Jared Goff is. That's why we got rid of him. And you guys had a franchise quarterback. You let him walk out the door. You granted his wishes when you could have kept him there, just like Green Bay kept Aaron Rodgers there and built around him and maybe tried to convince him to stay.
Yeah, but this is a team that's in a complete rebuild. And I think Dan Campbell and company, the entire organization knew that. And in all fairness, they did it for Matt Stafford as well. They're like, look, let him go to contender. He's certainly not on a contender with the Lions. And look, they got 15 players on IR. They wouldn't be favored in a single game all year, even with those 15 players. So we all know why they made the trade. It's interesting. Dan Campbell, though, to me, is the realest coach there is. All right? He was passionate. His team had been playing their butts off. And they finally let go of the rope in this game. And don't think for a second Dan Campbell didn't let them know it. Because he did. He was all over that team. And he challenged the entire football team, including Jared Goff.
I'll tell you what, man. It's tough, man. That's my hometown, man. They're the only – listen, after Jacksonville, you know, got a dub. Listen, and finally, I mean, you talk about great, like, clock management. The fact that, you know, everybody thought – you know, Miami thought that they were going to try and take a Hail Mary. Understanding 5 seconds left in the clock, a quick slant, give yourself up, take a timeout. Finally, I want to give some credit to Urban Meyer, you know, after losing 20 games straight, you know, to really come up in that pivotal moment. That's one that the coach wins for you. You talk about how your coach can't lose you games. You have to win you one. Them understanding that they had time with 5 seconds to get close enough to get into field goal range. You know, you talk about one coach, you know, understanding what it was, and Brian Flores on the other side getting duped by playing his guys off and not realizing, understanding the situation.
Yeah, and Brian Flores, every seems like he gets a pass. Last year, they won 10 games. Before that, they've been horrendous. Like, so to me, everybody's like, this guy could be coach of the year. He won 5 games there. People were talking about him being coach of the year. So I don't know what the great love is for Brian Flores. But again, you're right. At that moment, the biggest moment, Urban Meyer was the one that was ready for that moment and not Brian Flores. And to me, how bad is Miami? If you lose to Jacksonville in this game, look, the stats look like Tua had a great game. There was a couple of passes in there that you just look like, are you kidding me? Like, they were horrendous. Now, look, the guy hadn't played for several weeks, but my goodness, he had two guys so wide open. I could have thrown the ball left-handed, and I'm right-handed, and I'm coming off a major shoulder surgery and still could have completed the ball. So, to me, I was like, what the heck is going on with Tua? He throws for over 300 yards. That's the worst 300-yard performance I've seen a quarterback have in years.
You know, it's crazy, right? Because, you know, Tua, he's doing nothing to kind of dispel the, you know, the notion that, hey, they need to make the trade for Deshaun Watson. I mean, this is his opportunity, right? Because Deshaun Watson really can't be touched because of his legal situation, you know, let's open it up. Right now, I mean, you think about Philadelphia and you think about Miami. You know, which team you think needs or should be more aggressive for Deshaun Watson?
I think there's going to be several suitors, because if you watch Denver play and you don't think Denver's going to go after him, you got to be out of your mind. Broncos need Teddy Two Gloves being my quarterback, so I'm going Deshaun Watson at that place as well. They need one just as bad as those other two teams.
But the difference is those two can give you two first-round draft picks next year. The other one can give you three. If Carson Wentz continues to stay healthy, like, no matter how good Denver is, unless they want to come up off them real assets, giving up maybe a Sutton, giving up maybe a Patrick Surtain or a Simons, you know, they're going to have to really dig into their inventory to try and be able to match that same type of draft capital, you know, that, you know, Miami and Philadelphia can give up.
That's a great point. I would not be surprised if they don't offer Von Miller in that package as well.
Von Miller, 87 years old, Rex.
No, exactly. You're going to want to get rid of the contracts. Well, I'm saying it. It's going to look good on paper, but it might not be what you want it to be. But don't kid yourself. He will be offered in that package, in my opinion.
Oh, man. Let's go now to Sam Darnold, man. Sam Darnold, Minnesota, battle of teams. You know, Sam Darnold, I mean, yeah, man, you talk about, you know, 24 incompletions. You know, only one interception, but, man, like, without Christian McCaffrey, can they stay competitive enough so that when Christian McCaffrey gets back and J.C. Horn gets back, they can still be in contention?
Yeah, and Stephon Gilmore, too. Like, you're right. I mean, their help should be on the way. But if your quarterback's going to stink it up like he did again, then I don't know where you're going. We all know how tough it is to win in this league without a great quarterback. But you know, I will say this. He was so bad for 58 minutes in that game, Bart.
Yeah.
Like, just absolutely brutal. But Diddy leads this team with 2 minutes left on a 98-yard scoring drive, and he was spectacular in that. So, you know, it drives you crazy because you see him do some amazing things, and then you see him be the other Sam Darnold as well. So you really don't know what you're getting, but I'm not surprised. The Panthers started off 3-0. Everybody's feel-good story of the league. But I am not surprised that they're 3-3. I'm not surprised that Denver's 3-3. So, you know, a lot of times these teams that had seemingly had all the breaks early, the schedule, whatever it is, come back crashing down to earth in this league.
We got to give some of that credit out to that vaunted Carolina defense too. I mean, as they got carved up, Dalvin Cook coming back off injury, 140 yards rushing. You let Kirk Cousins put almost 400 up on you. You know, Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson, 8. So, you know, I don't want to let them off the hook either.
No, not at all. You're right. And look, there were times because, you know, the Burns kid's still playing good, all that. But at the end of the day, this is what we saw out of the Panthers last year, that we thought that you know, they played the Jets. They were number one in the league in defense after week one. I mean – I think we're seeing the real Carolina Panthers right now.
All right, Rex, man, I got to take a breather. I needed some Gatorade to tile off from all this stuff we've been talking about. Let's take a break and come back, and let's discuss all the 4 p.m. games as we had some doozies.
Organized Chaos.
Welcome back to Organized Chaos. I'm Bart Scott. Y'all know who that is. That's Rex Ryan on the other end. Let's talk about the 4 o'clock games, man. Cliff Kingsbury signed live with COVID. You think about no Chandler Jones on the other side for the battle of the Oklahoma quarterbacks. No Nick Chubb as well. How did you think Baker Mayfield fared, your favorite quarterback, against Mighty Mouse, the MVP favorite?
Yeah, I mean, look, I love Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield, though, to me. I've got to tell you something. When Homeboy came out there after hurting his shoulder and he came back in the game, like almost missing no time. I'm like, that is one tough son of a gun. And I know it never worked out for him. I know they never won the game, but I got to tip my hat to Baker Mayfield. Like, I was like, this is not just a snot-nosed kid. This is one tough SOB. And to me, like, if I was playing, I don't know about you, I'll ask you, Bart. I mean, if you saw your quarterback take that kind of hit on his arm, get back up and say, all right, boys, let's go. I'm coming back in. Like, I'd be inspired. As a coach, I'd be like, I got the right dude. This is a tough-ass kid. You know, that impressed me so much. I get it. They lost the game. They had both their tackles out. Ask Kansas City how it is with both your starting tackles out. It's hard to function. You don't have Nick Chubb. A lot of things, a lot of injuries. But at the same time, you got to give Cardinals credit. They don't even have their dang coach out there, their play caller, and they lit up this Brown defense that returns the form, being shaky again. So, to me, impressive performance by the Cardinals. But Baker Mayfield, I got to give it to him. I'm not blowing him up. I'm sitting there loving him up because that is one tough ass.
No, I appreciate, you know, him being tough. But the question remains to be said, like, you know, how much do you pay a guy like this that whenever he goes against another premier quarterback, you trust that if that quarterback has the ball in his hands, you know, with the time to go. And listen, maybe this can change, right? Yep. This can change later in the future once he wins a couple of these games, and then he'll learn how to win these games and manage them. But, you know, you talk about the Cardinals flying across town or across country, playing at a one, you know, playing, or, well, not an early game, 1 o'clock for them as well. But, you know, no Chandler Jones, don't have their coach. And all they do is, this wasn't just a win. This was a butt kicking. I mean, this is 37 hung up on that defense. And, you know, you have to ask yourself, you know, remember when, like, you know, what made the Jimmy G deal so good is that it was team friendly. Like, but Baker is betting on himself. And I just don't know if I'm Cleveland, if I can go into, if I can feel good saying, hey, I'm going to give Baker Mayfield $40 million a year, $35 million a year annually.
Great point. And right now, look, you don't have to make that decision if you're the Browns. You know, a lot of football is still to be played. But, like, when we compare him to Justin Herbert, we compare him to Kyler Murray, we compare him to Josh Allen's of the world, he's not that level. So I get where you're coming from. okay? But he beats the alternative, which is Case Keenum, your backup. But Baker, I just think, you know, I want him to be the guy. But, yeah, like, he's not as good as those other dudes. He's just not. He's not Justin Herbert. He's not Dak Prescott. He's not Kyler Murray. He's not Josh Allen. He's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not a lot of those dudes. Yet you can still win with him. And he is competitive, and I think he's a winner. So, you know, how much you going to pay? I would damn sure want to pay $40 million.
Right, yeah. I say you can win with him if he's your quarterback that leaves some money on the table for you to sign some more other players to make sure that he always has good football players around him. You know, so yeah, I'm not a Baker hater. I just don't see. Listen, they've lost three times already, and if they lose to Baltimore twice or have a hiccup within their conference, like I said earlier in the season, I didn't believe that they were going to make it to the playoffs. You know, they've had three losses right now, and you know, I don't really have their schedule in front of me, but I know for a fact that they have Baltimore twice, and you know, so like I think to win this division, you're going to have to at least get 10 wins, 10, 11 wins, and Baltimore looks like they're on their way. You know, so I'm trying to figure out, you know, just from a standpoint, you know, is it possible that this team could possibly miss the playoffs as these guys are coming back? I know that was like blasphemous to say that before, but you know that on the AFC West, they're going to get two teams with the Cardinals. You know, they're going to get the Cardinals in, and you're going to get Kansas City in. Then you talk about Baltimore. Right now, you know, the card, like you said, we're going to see what the Bengals are all about. We're going to see what they're all about. But this still is a team that has New England. They have Baltimore twice. They have Raiders. They have Green Bay. You know what I mean? With three losses and they lose to Baltimore twice, that's five. They can lose to either. I'm just saying. It's not out of spectrum for them to collapse and not make it to the postseason.
But here's the thing, like every team, there are a lot of these teams have question marks. Like the Chargers just got destroyed by Baltimore. We get it. Okay. But yeah, do they look like a playoff team? They do. You know, Kansas City, we always give them a pass because their offense is certainly good enough to be a playoff team. But the beauty of it, it's going to be proven out through the season because, man, a lot can happen. And when you look at this football team, at one minute, they look about as good as anybody. I think they're one of the most talented teams in the league.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, most good teams can overcome injuries, and they didn't overcome it today. They got smoked by a better football team. It looked like a better football team. And let's face it, the Cardinals have been better than everybody in the league right now, the only undefeated team left.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, man. You talk about winning in spite of somebody. Dallas in a nail biter continues to win in spite of Mike McCarthy. Like, he's holding his team back with some of his decision-making. Now, you talk about on the opening drive, when you have that much talent, you know, on your sideline from an offensive standpoint, why, oh, why, in the opening drive, would you go for it on a fourth down?
Yeah, because that analytics says to go for it, and you're dumb enough to believe that crap. Like, this guy is costing them. Everybody thought I was crazy when I said, hey, guys, I don't care what happens at the end of the season. We're Dallas. Dallas can win a Super Bowl. Dallas can go to the championship game. And they may very well move on from Mike McCarthy. These are the reasons. That stupid play right there. How the hell do you not punt the football? You, by the way, you have a rookie quarterback on the other side. And, you know, it's like, give me a break. Punt the football there. And then, Bart, how about him not challenging the third down call? You know, they score a touchdown. They don't challenge it. You know, it was ruled that it wasn't a touchdown.
Yeah. I'm like, his thighs were in the end zone.
Yeah. And here's the thing. You know, his thing. Well, we're going to score on fourth down. Oh, well, no, you're going to turn the ball over on fourth down. You can't ever assume you're in that end zone. And so when you score on third down, that's when you challenge the thing right there immediately. Again, he failed. What is the job of the head coach? This guy's not calling plays. He didn't call offense. He didn't call defense. He didn't call special teams. All right? So what is he there for? Game management, and they do it about as poorly as any team in the league. They end up winning this game, which, by the grace of God, and I mean, that's pretty much – that's the only way I can explain it. They win this game – But Mike McCarthy, it's as you put it, it's in spite of you, not because of you.
I tell you what, man, maybe they have to designate him for assignment, to use a baseball term, designate him next year to just kind of float around inside the scouting department or something like that, but just get him away from the sidelines. But, you know, in watching this game, nobody uglies or muddies up a game quite like New England in New England. You saw Tom Brady go up there, and the offense just look anemic. They get yards. Dallas gets yards all over the place, but just can't find ways to score. And then, you know, you got Trayvon Diggs. He gets a pick six. And I mean, he's feeling himself, right? He's the hero of the day. And all they have to do is keep mac and cheese out of the end zone. And what does he do? He gets greedy. He jumps one. In that type of situation, that shows you that he's trying to go for defensive player of the year. He's trying to go all pro. And he's not caring about his teammates, because that was selfish for him to undercut a play and try and get it, play hero ball, when all you have to do is make the plays, break the ball up, don't try and get the interception, and gives up like a, I don't know, it was like 70, 80-yard bomb with a Bourne. You know, mac and cheese at one point, you talk about at one point, the plays were like 35 to 15 or 17 or something crazy like that. So, I mean, I tell you what, man, that was an exciting game. Listen, that was the most exciting game of the day. Yeah. Dak Prescott, once again, ultimately figured it out, you know, after in OT, comes down and finds CeeDee Lamb on a crossing route, and he takes care of business. You know, Dallas continues to roll. I don't even know if you can say, like, okay, well, Dallas didn't look as dominant as they should, because, you know, that defense gave up 29 points against mac and cheese. But a lot of that was just because of the bad decisions of Mike McCarthy and them not being able to score, you know, three times in the red zone. It was crazy. You know, so, you know, right now you talk about, you got five teams, 5-1. All in the NFC. So, I mean, you talk about Green Bay, you talk about, you know, Tampa Bay, you talk about Dallas, talking about, well, the Cardinals got five wins. You talk about the Rams. You know, it's crazy, because right now they're top heavy, but eventually we know that's not going to stay, as some of these teams are going to feed off of each other, because eventually they're going to have to play each other. You know, but, you know, the last game I want to focus on for the 4 o'clock is the game between, you know, Teddy Two Gloves and what David Carr did, in spite of, you know, you talk about, no team had a longer week than the Las Vegas Raiders. And for them to come out and play that inspired, what did you think about that?
Well, both of these teams came in at 3-2, and you're sent back going, look, the loser of this game is a phony, all right? That's kind of how I looked at it, because both of them started off 3-0, and you're like, these teams really aren't that good. And especially with Denver, you know, now they've dropped three straight, and let's face it, that team's when Teddy Bridgewater is a stopgap guy, everybody knows, this is why Carolina wanted to get rid of him. But like, they have weapons, but they just don't play very well. Like, I don't get it. And this defense supposed to be all that. I mean, they haven't shown it either. So to me, it was one is going to show their true colors and lose the game. The other one's going to move on. It might be better than we think. I think it's a great opportunity for this new coach to actually get the job, all right, because their schedule is softer as it goes forward right now, and he might be the benefactor of it. The team played with no heart last week against the Bears. I mean, it looked like no heart. Today they showed up. They played hard. It doesn't look like they missed John Gruden even calling plays, so – to me, the Raiders, you know, they finally, you know, they were the tougher team, I thought, the more physical team, and they ended up winning the game.
Well, you know, that was the admiration, right? Because you talk about last week, they looked like they didn't have any heart. Maybe it's because secretly they were dealing with all the allegations and the leaked emails, and it was bothering them. You know, you talk about, you know, the story broke last Friday as they were going to play a football game. They looked lethargic, you know, but you talk about they came out the gates, you know, with Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Miami, you know, the Chargers, you know, they've had a tough schedule. They've had a really tough schedule, and they battled through it. So, like you said, their schedule is going to get a little bit easier as, you know, they have Philly, they got the, you know, they got the Giants, and they have a bye in between there before they face, you know, Kansas City. So, I mean, who knows? It looks like this team is for real. Looks like the strides that they've shown that they've taken on the defensive side of the ball makes them a more complete team. We already knew that the offense was legit, But, you know, to go on the Denver side, you talk about all their wins coming against teams right now that I think combined have two wins, right? Combined have two – oh, I'm sorry, combined have three wins. You know, so, like, Denver, I mean, could be searching for that quarterback, right? You know, and we all know who potentially may be out there. But, you know, I wonder what this means for Vic Fangio, you know, as he's been there, you know, for a while at this point. And you know, I don't know if they push the reset button and try and get new leadership, get a new voice, and get somebody that can maybe, you know, an offensive coach that, you know how that is. When you have all these offensive weapons, you want to get an offensive coach in there. So maybe we'll see, man. But let's preview.
Oh, they got to touch on this. They need a leader. People searching for head coaches need a leader. They don't. You're going to get an offensive coach with an offensive coordinator. But you're right, Bart. That was the most overrated team there. 3-0, which wins over the Giants, the Jets, and the Jags. But Vic Fangio's walking around like, you know, and he's cussing out, you know, John Harbaugh for running, you know, running the ball at the end of the game. It's like, dude, like, worry about your own damn team. Yeah. Don't worry about somebody else's. And to me, that's what it shows. He thinks he's a hell of a lot better than he is. You know, he forgot where he came from because Baltimore put him on the map because he was 32nd in the league in defense every year that he coached the Colts and all that type of stuff. They forgot Baltimore put him on the map, and I'm not going to let him forget it.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Well, we finally got to the time of the show where, you know, we take that look ahead, right? We talk about next week. We talk about the Broncos, you know, at the Browns. You talk about the loser falls to 3-4. We got the Colts. As, you know, John Kahn, a.k.a. Carson Wentz, you know, looks like his ankle's getting a little stronger, you know, at the 49ers. And we got the Saints on Monday Night Football this week against the Seattle Seahawks without Russell Wilson. You know, you talk about right now, the biggest cheerleader for the Saints is the New York Football Jets, as they hope that the Seattle Seahawks continue to plummet so that Jamal Adams trade looks better and better every week.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And the schedule makers, three straight primetime games with Seattle because everybody wanted to see Geno Smith at quarterback. So, yeah, that was interesting. And obviously, they you know, Monday night, everybody wished they had a do-over. But speaking of Monday night, how about the Week 6 matchup? I think the best team in the National Football League are the Buffalo Bills, and they're play at the Tennessee Titans, who can run the hell out of the ball. So Buffalo, if they're going to, you know, if they have a little kink in the armor, it might be that run defense.
Yeah.
It's going to be tested in this one with King Henry and company. So I can't wait to watch this game, Bills and Titans, this week.
Oh, yeah, you talk about Ed Oliver, a little light in the pants right now. And I think Mike Milano, I forget his name, first name, but Milano, their, you know, outstanding middle linebacker, may be out of the game. I don't know if he's a game-time decision. But King Henry makes you have to answer and make you have to drop that 8-man in the box, which gives, you know, I know right now he's under an illness a little bit, A.J. Brown, but if they can pump some fluids in him, you talk about if you put that 8-man in a box, you're putting one-on-one with Julio Jones on the outside, and you think about A.J. Brown on the outside. You got to be careful. You got to disguise that cover one because that safety rotates into the box or inserts into the box early. You know, you talk about Ryan Tannehill making them pay because King Henry is going to demand the attention of those linebackers.
Yeah, Bart, don't you think they're going to play quarters and try to steal that eighth guy down? It's not a true 8-man spacing deal, but I think Buffalo loves to play quarters. I think that's what they're going to play against Tennessee, and that means, yes, it looks like two high safeties, but those dudes are going to be reacting to the run quickly and still forcing with their safeties. So I expect them to play that style of defense. They love to play it anyway, but you're right. In that, you do still get those matchups and zone coverage on the one-on-ones on the outside. So it'll be interesting for sure, but I think it's going to be a great game, man. Flying in from Nashville – there's a billion Buffalo Bill fans coming into this one. Half the stadium could be Buffalo Bill fans. It ought to be a great one, though.
Man, I tell you what, we'll see if we see those double posts, maybe AJ and Julio on the same side, the quarters beater in anticipation. Maybe they listen to Organized Chaos.
There you
chaos.
Go.
They know what's coming tonight.
Everybody can learn from Organized Chaos.
I tell you what, as always, it's always a pleasure, Rex. I'm Bart Scott. He's Rex Ryan. And this is Organized Chaos Podcast. Rex and I will be dropping a new podcast each and every weekend from now until Super Bowl Sunday. You can also catch me weekdays from 12 to 3 on Barton Hahn Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. And you can catch Rex Ryan every Sunday on NFL Countdown and Monday mornings on Get On Up. Thanks for listening. Talk to you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to Organized Chaos. Check back for new episodes every Monday morning all season long, wherever you get your podcasts.